Previously, I've given a talk about the four elements, in which I mostly talked about the philosophical significance, but also how an understanding of the four elements can help us in our meditation practice. But today, I would like to talk a little bit about how to properly balance the elements, how we can use this understanding of the four elements to deliberately balance out imbalances, and to become aware of what is happening in ourselves, in our meditation, or in, if we have some physical problems, some health issues, to make a first start to get a handle on that. Now, of course, this is not to advise you to not go to a doctor when you are sick. It's just as a first step. If you have any physical problems, then some understanding of the four elements can help to get a little bit a handle on it, to a little bit balance out imbalances. Because this is actually how ancient medicine largely worked. It was in ancient times, a disease was always considered an imbalance of the elements. So now, this is not to say now that the ancient understanding of medicine and of the body is superior to modern understanding. This is just for saying that if you have a basic understanding of these ancient principles and these ancient ideas, then you don't 100% have to always rely for any small thing on a doctor. As well as it should help you a little bit with your own meditation practice, that you're not just walking in the dark all the time, and that you have a means of naming what you are experiencing. And when you have a means of naming what you're experiencing in your meditation, then you have a means of improving whatever you experience. If you don't make any distinction and you just like some proponents of Vipassana, they have this idea of you just accept and observe whatever happens. This has its place, definitely, on the spiritual path to accept things, but only when you have no way of improving it, when you have no way of changing it for the better. So whenever there is an opportunity to change whatever you are experiencing for the better, then you should take that opportunity. I think an ancient emperor, maybe a Caesar, once said, "May I have the strength to change what can be changed. May I have the patience to endure or to remain calm in the face of things that I cannot change. And may I have the wisdom to distinguish between the two." So now, this is a very important point for meditation, that we understand what we cannot change, now we accept, but what we can change, that now we try to change. And now this, of course, requires some wisdom to distinguish these two options, these two situations. And now, although wisdom is not equivalent with knowledge, wisdom always builds up on some amount of knowledge. Now, if you are very wise, you can make from a small amount of information, you can build up some holistic picture, you can gain wisdom from a small amount of knowledge, from a small amount of facts, while some people, they have a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom. So the two are not the same, but in order to have wisdom, you have to have some amount of knowledge. So, and the knowledge that I already last time offered is this knowledge of the four elements, which can help us in various ways. So, but today I only want to add something to what I said last time, and that is, I want to give some clues as to how we can deliberately balance out imbalances. Now, once we become aware of the elements within ourselves, either in meditation or in daily living, then it can help to first understand which element is out of balance. And when we have some clue about it, then we can make a start balancing out that imbalance. So, but maybe for a start, let me just first briefly summarize the four elements and their main characteristics. So, as we have said last time, there's earth element, water element, fire element, and air element. And these are not elements in nature only. These are a scheme for classifying the whole of what one experiences. So they are also not just states of matter, even they correspond to states of matter. They do correspond to the four states of matter of solidity, liquidity, gaseousness, and plasma. But they are not limited to that, as I have already shown in the previous talk. So, but when meditating, then for this present talk, I mostly want to focus on the physical reality of what we might be experiencing and how that relates to the elements. So everything that is solid, that is possesses weight or possesses some concrete shape or form, that is earth element. Whatever is liquid, whatever is wet, and whatever has some appearance of clearness and depth, that we call the water element. Whatever displays the qualities of heat, of radiation, or of light, this is an experience of the fire element. While whatever is quickly changing, fluctuating, moving is an experience of the air element. So, but today I want to talk about imbalances of these elements. So for that, let us understand what might be an imbalance of the earth element to start with. So if we are meditating or if we are sitting down to meditate and we feel that our body feels overly solid or overly heavy, then we can take that to be an imbalance of the earth element, an excess of the earth element. And such imbalance can be tackled in a similar manner as you would work with external materials. Now, if you would want to work with, perhaps as one example, baking materials. Now, if you want to bake something or you want to cook something, now you can use that as an analogy to how to deal with excessive hardness or concreteness in your own body, in your own meditation practice. So one way is to add water to the earth element. So if you are perceiving your body to be overly solid, in some cases it might help to just take a sip of water, for example. Very simple things. But if you understand the simple and basic principles, then you can also work out how things are and how things can be solved in more complex situations. So just for making the principles clear, I just start with very simple things. So now you could add water element to your body by drinking something, for example. Another way would be moving it a little bit, trying to shake it a little bit, that it ceases to be just one solid lump of earth, that your body ceases to be just one solid lump of earth, that you kind of add air element to the mixture. So you move a little bit, sometimes doing some walking meditation, or sometimes if you become skillful with your meditation, then you can, for example, tense up certain muscles, you can exert your heart in your meditation, or you can deliberately breathe in and out. And this produces some movement. Now this is kind of working on the earth element, and it begins to refine the earth element, so that your experience of your body, your experience of your meditative reality ceases to be just one solid thing that you have no power over, and that you have no way of engaging with, because you want to engage with your meditation, and that you can only do when the material that makes up your meditation is suitable to be formed. Now your mind can form your body, but also your body will condition your mind. So depending on the strength of your mind, the stronger your mind is, the more power you may gain over the matter of your body, and the more easy it might be for you to change things just with your mind. But you don't have to just change things with your mind, because sometimes it is much easier and much shorter a route to change things by certain mechanical means. So, and that now relates mostly to the air element, to change things by means of movement and by means of tensing up your muscles. Then the third option is burning up excessive earth element. Now this you can do by allowing your body to become a little hot, or you can make your body a little hot by means of doing some exercise before you meditate, or by using certain medicines that are predominantly fire element like, that possess certain capacities to break down, for example, the food in your stomach more easily, that have certain fiery qualities which work ideally on the solidity of your body, to break it down a little, or to make it more malleable thing. So that are the kind of three means, three, using any of the three other elements to produce a balance in an excessive earth element. The first was using water, drinking a little bit, reducing the solidity of the earth by means of that. Second was using air, using movement, using, we can say, mechanical means, tensing up the muscles, breathing in and out more deliberately, or using your heart in a manner that moves things a little bit in your body. And the third was using the fire element to either break down the solidity of the earth element, or to make the earth element more malleable. So, but then maybe one more thing that could help would be using the senses in order to produce a balance in the elements. So now if you have some condition of being rather slack a person, being rather lethargic a person, than putting yourself somewhere where there's a lot of wind going on, where it's very windy. That can help to keep things moving in yourself also. You know, the outer wind element can help you to stir up an inner movement. Or equally, the fire of the sun, if you're very lethargic and very kind of dull and dark natured, or in a very dull and dark mood, we can say, then exposing yourself to the sunlight can equally help to bring in some light into yourself, bring in some fire element by that means. Or similarly with the water element, observing the flowing of the water element, although movement generally relates to the air element, if you observe flowing water, it is, we can say, using still the water element to bring about some balance, or just to observe the kind of depth of the water, the clarity of the water and the depth of the water, that can help to produce some depth in yourself also. That can help to balance a certain amount of imbalanced coarseness. If you're a very coarse person, it can help you to look at the crystal clearness of the water, to perceive this kind of watery qualities of depth or flowing. But then the water element also at times can be out of balance. So now if you find yourself in a condition where you find you have some kind of depth inside yourself, but it doesn't help you to move forward, you're kind of comfortable in your body with your mind, but there's no forward movement. So you're kind of stuck in the water. Then using a little bit air element, using a little bit movement can help get things moving. A moving water is less likely to get defiled for too long. A pond easily gets grown over with weeds, but a flowing water usually remains clear, at least of certain defiling things, we can say. Then a further way of balancing out an imbalance of the water element would be to use a fire element, perhaps to sweat out some excessive water, especially the fat reservoirs in our body are actually of a very watery nature. So, but this can sometimes prevent us from getting further in meditation because they kind of slow down our metabolism. And if we expose ourselves to greater heat, as you do, for example, in sauna, or just by getting into the sun or exercising. By these means you also can kind of evaporate some excessive water element. But maybe what is the most common thing that you have to do when you're aware of your body has too much water element, when you sit down for meditation and you become aware that your body has too much water element, is just to wait for your body to separate that excess water element and to lead it out. So you just often just have to wait until you feel the urge to excrete it. Beyond that, what you can do if you have too much water element is to add earth element. So sometimes you have too much water element and just using some dry medicine like dried spirulina tablets or a certain dried foods. This can help to suck up excessive water element, and then can help you. This combination of earth and water then may help you to get further in your meditation. Then, as the next element, let's consider about the fire element and an excess in the fire element. So if we have an excess in the fire element, sometimes just bringing ourselves into a cooler environment can help, or not taking a cold shower. But we also can balance excessive heat by means of stronger breathing, for example, more fast and more heavy breathing that can refine and cool down some amount of excessive heat, some amount of excessive fire. Another way is to just burn up the fuel of it, to burn up excessive heat by means of exerting yourself, doing something first. If you have a lot of fire in yourself, that also often produces some increased air element if you let it stand and if you let it go by itself. So to just aid a little bit in the burning up process by means of exerting yourself in some way. In sitting meditation sometimes you also can do that. You can tense up your muscles if you get your mind calm and you get some control over your heart. Then you can exert your heart, and that will help you to kind of manipulate the fire element and the radiation aspect of the fire element. And maybe another option would be to just put on some more dried logs, meaning put in some more earth element. If your fire element is just flaring up uncontrolled, then you put on a few new logs onto the fire, and then it might become a more calm fire, a more easily controllable fire. That might perhaps also burn longer. So that are a few ways of dealing with an excess in the fire element. Then at last let us consider about the air element. Now an excess of the air element usually will make you want to move, usually will make you want to get up from your meditation. If you're sitting in meditation, it will try to make you get up. The air element is the element of movement, and many times actually the best thing that you can do about an excess of the air element is to just allow it to happen, to just allow the air element to move you. Because in meditation you try to become more subtle a person, and you can not do that when you coarsen up too much. So if you are trying to kind of trap an excessive air element inside yourself, you kind of build a wall around yourself, or you kind of try to harden up and to not allow the air element to move you, what that usually will do is that it builds up a lot of pressure inside yourself, which you then will have to kind of get rid of after the meditation. So usually that is not the best way of doing things. So a better way of doing things is to learn before meditating to work with the air element in other ways, either by means of yoga or by means of things like Qigong or Tai Chi. Now, these are methods of both becoming aware of the subtle air element as well as learning how to work with it, learning how to use it and harness it to gain inner strength. So that is usually the more productive way of dealing with the air element, not to just allow it to move you a little bit. Not because that is actually what you do in meditation. You learn to channel the air element. Now you, what you want in your meditation is the continuity, a continuous inner experience, a continuous inner movement that you can interact with and that you can engage with. So, but still there are things that you can do in meditation, even if you cannot directly work on the air element, if you cannot directly channel the air element yet. So one way is, many times you do actually have to just wait for the air element to kind of calm down, to just allow it to settle. Because actually the air element is the element which usually also changes the fastest just by itself. So many times you just have to wait for the air element to settle by itself. If you can do that without overly tensing up, then that is usually what you have to do. Then a further way of dealing with the air element is to make sure that you have enough earth element inside yourself in the first place. Now, if you're a grounded person, then it will be much easier to not be all the time carried away by the air element. So now that means now you're physically healthy, now you're not too emaciated, or not that you have eaten enough before your meditation. This kind of things. These will help you to not be carried away by the air element too much. So now these are the two main elements. The air element, the kind of working with the air element on the air element, learning to channel the air element, learning to ride the air element, and using the earth element to kind of be protected from an excess of air element and to counteract an excess of the air element. Now with fire and with water, it is usually a little bit difficult to balance out imbalances in the air element. Because with fire element, usually the situation is that an excessive fire element, or in general fire element, is rather what creates more air element. So often an increase in fire element also leads to an increase in the air element. So most of the time it is rather difficult to balance out imbalances in the air element by means of the fire element. And for the water element, a similar thing applies, because usually the water element is just not a very good element to counteract excessive air element by itself. Only it can help in combination with the earth element, it can help to have enough depth and clarity to not be carried away by the air element. So, and now these are just a few ideas and a few considerations about the four elements, which may help you to not grapple too much only in the dark in your meditation. Now, it is usually a good idea to learn by heart the four elements. I think it's not very difficult to learn, and their characteristics, and then learn to more often recognize these elements, how they occur in your meditation, and how they occur in your daily life. You try to consider more often what you're experiencing in your daily life in matters of the four elements, and then to learn to understand now which element can balance out what imbalance. Becoming aware when there is an excess in a certain element, and then trying to consider what could balance out this excess in an element. So this is just a small tool set that I offer here. I hope that at least some of the listeners might be able to use it, might be able to profit from it. And I think more I cannot do in relation to this. So I just hope the best for everyone. And with that, I end this talk.